All right, good morning. I'll call all of the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, April 18th, 2017, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. Good morning. So, we got a meeting that we're going to try to be highly efficient in, as Loris and I need to leave for another meeting at 11:15. And those of you that have been following the board here over the last few months know that 11:15 comes pretty quickly in these meetings. So, to that end, we have pulled for May 2nd Veterans Affairs Quarterly Report. So, Brett will be here on May 2nd. We have pulled the Ames Economic Development Commission Quarterly Report to next week. We've pulled Lisa Markley's quarterly financial report to next week, and we've pulled Community Services quarterly report. She's going to come in and report on May 2nd. So that's the changes to the agenda. And for those, anybody in here who grew up in the 60s and 70s and watched Dragnet like I did, this is a meeting where we're going for just the facts, ma'am, and we'll move through it. So first item on our agenda is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, come right on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, next item is an update from ISG on the pipeline inspections, and it's Evan Duvall who is here. Hi, Evan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing? Thanks for coming over today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This will be quick. About a month ago, the pipeline kicked off their spring construction. We have ramped up our inspection to get back to the levels needed to follow the crews through the fields. At the moment, really what they're doing is they're addressing tile lines that were fixed last year, but that have proven to be damaged one way or another. So we're working with landowners to address where they see it in the field. Some lakes that didn't exist in the past are showing up now. So we'll continue to move through that. We have inspection out there. You guys have obviously seen the invoices from us. So our staff is probably at around 90% full right now, and as crews come in for the pipeline, we'll ramp up a little bit more. But the spring will be much less intense than the fall and summer were last year.
Super. So landowners that feel like there's some kind of wetness issue or some kind of issue,
any issue that they have, they can contact us. I know with new board members, I've brought some more contact cards for us, which I'll hand to you guys. If you have constituents that have issues, have them call the numbers on there. We'll come meet them at their fields, go through what their issues are, and coordinate it with the pipeline to get that addressed. Well, that could be tile lines, restoration, soil restoration, any conservation practices that didn't get put back. Even if they just want to call and complain, we're a good ear to listen to. So
perfect. And you get on the ground. So I saw that the pipeline expects to be oil flowing middle of May.
Yes, I believe by the end of the month they should be charged. But we're not. That has nothing to do with us in terms of their schedule for that.
Absolutely, but what it has to do with is where we think we are in the range of completion.
Yep.
So tell me about your expected time frame for ISG to complete their contract and be done.
Our contract will be done when we have signed off on the full restoration of the corridor through each of the counties that we are responsible for, and that includes full restoration of the topsoil, like I said, the drain tiles, any conservation practices that were there that got impacted by this project. We need to get to 70% establishment of plant growth in the areas, drainage ditches, things like that. If landowners have requested cover crops go in, then we need to make sure that those are in. And then ongoing, as tile issues arise or, you know, if decompaction wasn't done properly and plants aren't growing the way that they have been, we're an Iowa firm. We'll be here for landowners into perpetuity, really, to address those. The pipeline is required to be addressing those long term too. So,
Are you tracking by month as far as the calls you're getting and from what counties you're getting?
We're not necessarily tracking it in terms of, we're following up with them immediately. We have inspectors. We currently have 8 inspectors in the field. Last year we were up to 34. So we have inspectors up and down the state who are addressing the concerns at any given time. So we make note of who calls, but it's a pretty quick turnaround.
Would it be possible to ask that we receive in Story County some kind of regular type of summation about the calls you're getting from Story County? And I don't know what a regular time period would be. You probably would be better able to tell us what would be realistic.
The concern I have with that is we have landowners are calling to the various levels of our inspection, whether it's me as the project manager, our chiefs, or our people in the field. To add to that, to have all of those conversations and those contacts compiled into a list is something we haven't done. I'm not saying it's not possible. I don't know that it's necessarily what would be of value for this board. Maybe a more frequent update as to where they are in their restoration efforts, which the pipeline's attorneys are submitting to the IUB on a weekly basis. That's something that I could forward to you guys if that's something that's of more value.
And how are you issuing the bills to us then if there's not some kind of tracking about what's being done specifically for Story County?
So it got set up. We have 14 counties that we're inspecting for. And the way the pipeline works is all on day rates. So our inspection staff gets paid. It's a pass-through expense between us to you, and then you invoice the pipeline. Pipeline pays you, then you pay us. So the pay framework is set up in the oil industry as a day rate. So we are billing the pipeline, in essence, a day rate for every inspector we have on staff. And because it's a real linear project, we're in and out of counties with our inspection, depending on where they're working. We have prorated the expenses along the 14 counties based off of the percentage of mileage that you have.
Thank you.
Yes.
Super. What kind of report, if any, will Story County receive at the end of this? And are there any hot-button issues here in Story County we should be aware of? Anything specific that you can point to?
The tile lines will be hot-button items. That's one of the more important things. What you will receive is you'll receive all of our day reports for Story County, and that includes our inspection reports, our tile reports, road crossings, drainage district reports, any violations that have gone on. You'll get a big, huge binder that you'll have no interest in looking through at the end of this project.
Okay.
All right, super. Marty, any questions?
So when the oil flows in 2 weeks, how would the public know that, or will there be any?
Hopefully they don't know it because we don't want to see any geysers around here. So I don't know what the pipeline's anticipating on disseminating that information. They keep some of that pretty close to the chest. But the intent is that we'll have no idea that there's a pipeline in the ground.
That's success as we see it then.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's what we're looking for. So.
Evan, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to I don't have anything else. I wanted to thank you, Rick, for following up on my original request.
Absolutely. Evan, really appreciate you coming over and trying to stay dry out there today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Anytime you need me to come.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item is discussion and consideration of funding for the Clear Impact Scorecard licenses effective July 1st, 17 for $2,560 annually. This is Deb Shildroth and Gene Cressy. Gene, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for coming over.
You're welcome.
So Gene sent me a letter just asking that Story County participate in the ongoing cost of this Clear Impact Scorecard. To this point, United Way has absorbed all of that, as I understand it.
That's correct.
And so let's have the conversation, Gene.
So Shannon Bardol was here 3 months ago and presented what the Clear Impact Scorecard will do as far as measuring progress within human services. We fund somewhere between 100 and 136 different programs through the asset process. United Way Board of Directors about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, looked at setting community goals in the area of education, income, and health. Since that time, we have been meeting with individual stakeholders in the community, trying to determine what exactly do we want to measure, what is appropriate to measure, and what will give us the information we need to know as far as our investments. And for United Way, it's donor dollars. Are our investments actually making an impact with individuals' lives? Our overall vision is to improve the quality of life for individuals and families in the community, and I think that that flows very well with the supervisors and the city and the other funders within ASSET as well. So we eat and breathe and live and work with human services every day, so it made sense for United Way of Story County to be the lead on this. We've, in the last year, the ASSET process went from a four-panel structure to adopting education, income, and health, and I think that that transition went very smoothly this last ASSET process season, if you want to call it that. So we are committed to this, and I know that other funders are looking at it as well. So if you want to come along and share the cost of the license. The license, if you were to do it on your own, would be closer to $585 per license, but because we're a member of United Way Worldwide, they've negotiated on a national level with Clear Impact Scorecard, and I believe it's, I forgot now off the top of my head, $240 per license. So we can always add more licenses. We currently have 33 that we've purchased. That will also include three libraries. At this point in time, it's the Huxley Library, the Ames Library, and Nevada Library. They are part of the grade level reading campaign and have been active in that campaign. So it made sense. As you know, there are 11 libraries in Story County, and if we want to bring any others on board, we can certainly do that. I think we're talking about possibly having a license for your staff, so that would be included in the total of the 33 so far. There are about a half a dozen agencies that are also partner agencies, is what we call them with United Way, partner agencies with United Way of Central Iowa, which is the Polk County region. And they also use Clear Impact Scorecard. So those agencies, we won't have to purchase another license. They can simply use the license that they have. And we can, of course, this is the technical stuff. Somehow the license can talk to each other, so we can get that to work. And Shannon's working on that right now. And each individual agency will have their own scorecard. So it's also a benefit to them, because if they keep track of their data this way, then they can roll that up into grant applications. Shannon has currently built almost all of the scorecards, and for us that means 31 agencies. And training will begin with those agencies the beginning of May, and hopefully will be done by the end of May. Our rollout is July 1st. We won't actually see results as far as the input on the scorecard until the following year, because most of the performance measures that are indicated are on an annual basis.
Super. Questions?
I went back and looked at the Story County priorities, self-sufficiency and supporting affordable housing and transportation, health and safety, and accessible medical services, including mental health. All right. You talked about the priorities being programmed into education, health, income, and health.
Right.
So are we still going to be assured that the impact scorecards will specifically put out some data related to each funder's individual priorities?
And for the things that you mentioned, Loris, transportation falls under income. Health, of course, falls under health. So they all swim up that way. So all of the programs that the supervisors are currently funding, or Story County is currently funding through ASSET, is assigned to either education, income, or health.
Okay. Thank you.
So the goal and hope here, what we expect from this, is we're going to get consistent metrics of what kind of impact we're really having in all these areas, and then it'd be up to each funder to take a look at those data points that we're getting and see if it's meeting with the priorities that we've set. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yes.
Yeah. And I think it's also beneficial to the agencies, because this will offer a streamlined, consistent way for them to be reporting outcomes. Mm-hmm. You know, ASSET for many years now, we've had a form within the budget where agencies report their outcomes, and then we have a mid-year report that's due in the middle of December. And while that has worked, I think this is just going to be a much more streamlined and professional way of of getting that income or getting that outcome data and being able to use it in developing maybe additional priorities, changing priorities, or helping agencies take a look at the services that they're providing and seeing where changes may be needed or what's really working well. So I think we're very fortunate to have this platform available to participate.
This does not in any way replace the asset volunteer visits, correct, or the early
No, volunteer? And at this point it won't replace what we affectionately call Asset Budget Form 5.0 or the mid-year reports, because those things still have to happen up until, I mean, at the point where we feel if Clear Impact Scorecard is doing everything we need it to do, we can always eliminate that step, and I don't think there'll be one human service agency director that would cry.
Okay. Right, thanks.
No, but this gets us closer to a true apples-to-apples comparison in terms of the impacts for the dollars that are being invested.
And my hope to towards this question is we'll be able to eventually draw on information that will enhance the volunteers' visits to the agencies and enhance the asset process overall.
I like the model. I like a third, a third, a third between sole three funders, but the three major funders of our asset process. So us partnering with United Way and Ames to each absorb a third of the cost of this. So right now it's $240 per license. There's no limit on those licenses. So if we decided we wanted to do more, we could charge them at $240. How long is that agreement between United Way Worldwide and Clear Impact?
It's brand new. So we currently got under Clear Impact Scorecard with the grade level reading campaign. So the national campaign had negotiated a rate. This is even lower. So this is brand new. So I don't anticipate it disappearing anytime soon. And I think that once we've bought those licenses, that annual amount is every year. Well, I mean, it's the same. We're locked into the $240 with the ones we've purchased. 5 years down the road from now, if we purchase new ones, I'm not sure what that rate will be. But
would be your expectation that for the 32 that we've purchased, it would just be a continuous $240 every year?
Yep.
Other questions?
Small dollars for the organization. And I like the fact that they're looking to seek additional data because we have our suspicions and we have our facts. Maybe data that we've derived through this might change direction and actually provide greater outcomes.
That sounded awful close to a motion. You want to go ahead and make it?
I move that we provide funding for the Clear Impact Scorecard license effective 7/1/17 for $2,560 annually.
For 5 years? We can't do it other than annually, correct, because of possibility of different boards?
Yeah, so it's our intent that we're going to fund this. Every board has the ability to go into our budget and say, no, we're not. We can say we're not participating in asset anymore if we want to. I don't think that's going to happen. So fine line. But all we're approving today is that we will join in $2,560 this year, with the hope and intent that it's a long-term thing.
I second the motion.
Okay. Motion, second, further discussion?
None.
Deb, Gene, anything to add? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chief?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It is approved. Thank you, Gene.
Thank you.
Next, Child Serve Agency Report. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me. I'm a newbie, so be gentle. My name is Brendan Messmer. I am the site supervisor at Child Serve in Ames.
You said Brendan?
Brendan, yep.
Okay.
Spelled Brenda with an N. My parents were cool. We serve approximately 562 families across a variety of services. I supervise the child care. We have respite. We have supportive community living. We have rehabilitation services, outpatient therapy, and day health services. Of those 562 families, about 452 of them are Story County residents. I primarily deal with the child care, so I have about 116 children, almost all, if not all, from within Story County. Six of those families, six of those children, receive asset funding, which I'm glad you guys are still sponsoring. Overall, our census number from year to year has pretty much stayed the same. Normally we have growth. This year it stayed the same. That's primarily because of a drop in respite services, but an increase in outpatient therapy services. So we're kind of balancing out. And then in the fall, we are starting an autism program, which we hope to provide a service to families that no one else provides, and hopefully get the impact a little bit greater.
Outstanding. Questions?
You mentioned in the written report about your playground and that you applied for some grants here to help fund this project. Can you give me an idea about what kind of cost you're looking at to do your drainage or surface?
It is about $350,000
to
$400,000.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Good luck on that grant program.
Thank you.
That's it. Marty, evening.
Hard to believe that. 17 years old. That's a new part of Ames. Mm-hmm. But it just shows how time slips away.
Yes, it is.
You have 110 kids you've identified as coming from surrounding communities. Where are those communities?
We have a few from Nevada. We've got a few from Huxley. We have some kids that come all the way over from Marshalltown. We have a few couple kids from Carroll as well. That's pretty much it. So. Okay. Marshalltown, Carroll area.
Quite a reach. Carroll's no small.
Yep, we actually have, we have one family that comes from Fort Dodge as well.
We offer very specialized services.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're the only one, so people come a long way.
Super. Brittany, thank you very much.
Good, thank you. Anything else?
Have a great day.
Perfect, thank you. You guys.
Thanks for driving over.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for being nice.
Minutes from April 11th.
I will so move. We approve them as presented.
Second.
Motion to second. Anything to note? Olson.
Aye.
Chidi.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Personnel Actions Board.
I will so move that we approve them as presented.
Second.
Motion to second. Olson.
Aye.
Chidi.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consideration of claims. Let's pull the claim for GoDaddy to talk about. Right after, is there anything else on claims?
Yes. I would like to pull number 5, the contract with ACSI for wireless service, and number 9, the appointment to the Board of Adjustment.
That's consent agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself, and I so apologize to everybody. No, I have nothing on claims.
Okay. I
move to approve claims as presented.
Second.
Motion to second. Chidi.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Now we got consent agenda. I had us pulling number 9, which was appointment to the Board of Adjustment. What else are we pulling?
Number 5, the contract with ACSI for wireless.
Okay. And then it looks like the GoDaddy is on our consent as well, so we'll pull that. So 3 items that we're pulling, number 2, number 5, number 9. Motion to approve consent with those changes.
I so move with the changes.
Second.
Olson.
Aye.
Chidi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Let's deal with them in order. GoDaddy.com. This is a situation where we used a Visa card that is against Story County policy. It's kind of a convoluted situation that is my understanding that has been dealt with and won't happen again. Anybody like to address that? Any questions, Board?
No.
So success here would be seeking a PO as opposed to a...
Well, two things. One, yeah, PO is within our policy. Two, if we have to do something that goes against our policy, there's only one group in the county that's allowed to violate county policy, and it's the 3 of us. Right? And so it would come to us beforehand, and we would figure it out. So they've looked at alternative methods for handling situations like this within policy, and we hope it's handled. But in the event we get in a situation where we have to do something that goes against our policy, nobody gets to make that decision except the 3 of us.
Okay.
So we just underscore that, and I believe it's clear. I expect that it's clear.
Do we want to approve these individually?
Yep.
This one way?
Yep. Nope. We're going to approve this one if you guys are so inclined.
I move approval of the contract between GoDaddy and Information Technology.
I would second that.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Next item is ACS, Wi-Fi upgrade. Barb, I would think, come up for this one. Laura, so you're the one who wanted it pulled. Let's talk about it.
I just have a couple of quick questions on this. Since Barb is near the microphone.
Good morning, Barb.
I had emailed Barb in advance just to let her know what I was going to ask. When was the last time that this contract was put out for an RFP?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a new contract. It's under the $25,000 threshold in the purchasing policy. So, but even so, we did get more than one quote. We were looking at, every time we have something that needs replacing, we always look at different alternatives to do, to perform the same work. And as you know, technology changes all the time. So with this specific quote, it was budgeted, and we wanted to renew the current installation, and then found out midway through the year that after the budget was already approved, that our other controller was no longer going to be supported either. So we got a new quote, and that ended up to be $40,000. We only had $17,200 budgeted, so we looked for alternatives. We looked at two other different solutions, and this one seemed to be better for us simply because ease of management, lower cost. It is a little bit over the $17,200 that we have budgeted. I believe this is $20,000, but it also includes some maintenance. It's always better to get that up front. It's cheaper that way. So as far as RFP, we usually send out RFP for new projects. For instance, the VoIP phone system went out for RFP.
Right.
The management solutions went out for RFP. So something that's small like this under $25,000, I just like to go ask my peers. And we go to a lot of different presentations by the different vendors. We get inundated with emails. But if it's something that we think is coming up in our future, sometimes we'll attend those. So I didn't think this warranted going out for RFP. And I'm not sure if the original did.
Okay. All right. Well, just something to keep in mind is, you know, I know more now about how you look for vendors. And you answered my second question, was if the maintenance contract was included in that. And it was a little unclear. Okay, thank you. I'm done with my question.
Super. Marty, any questions?
No questions.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Or you want to move this one?
Yes. I will move that we accept the contract, or accept the quote between ACS and Information Technology for the Wi-Fi upgrade.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Keating?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Next item that we pulled is consideration of appointment to the Board of Adjustments, Steve Bruns, for a 5-year term ending 12/31/21. Laura, if you want to talk process on this.
Yes. What we have in front of us doesn't really give us any idea about how this occurred, other than we know that we went out and put out a notice that we were seeking for a vacancy on the Board of Adjustment. I was not aware about who was going to interview, how we conduct the search for, and how we, who interviews for people that we appoint. And then there's no background information with Mr. Bruns, and given the situation we had that happened when we appointed to the compensation board, when we found out that one of the people originally appointed didn't even qualify, I'd like to have in front of us definitely, you know, more information on people, but also I'd like for us to look at a process situation where we have two supervisors interview. That would be at separate times, so we don't, you know, get into a problem with open meetings law. But right now, we just have our board chair interviewing everybody. And I think that we overall are going to get a better selection of candidates. We're going to have the voice of the entire board in interviewing these people to pick people that reflect all of our needs on the board.
Yeah, and so I appreciate a process conversation if we want to have it. I think what's I would underscore is that what we did here is, in fact, existing process for the Board of Supervisors. If we choose, the three of us choose to change that process, that's great. But this one occurred following the process that was laid out in my previous board, but it was laid out and followed. There have been multiple ways that we've appointed people to boards and commissions through the years, one of which, Lawrence, I think you would really not be comfortable with, and it involved all three board members, and this is before my time on board, involved all three board members sitting in a room and interviewing people for the board and commission. It was not posted as a public meeting. No minutes were kept. It really caused me a lot of discomfort. Since then, we moved to a process that was much more informal than the process that we currently follow, where, in essence, and I don't want to oversimplify, a name was somehow put on the agenda and the board put it in. We, and when I say we, I mean Paul Toot, Wayne Clinton, and I, were not comfortable with that process either, so we established a process where the chair of the Board of Supervisors, who is a person selected by the Board of Supervisors to represent the board, worked with staff, in this case Deb Shildroth, to go through the process of appointment. Now, you hold up that appointment to the Compensation Commission, that is completely outside of our board process that we're talking about here today. That's a commission where each elected official gets to appoint a member, except the Board of Supervisors only gets to appoint two. That did not follow this process. That one was simply me coming to both you and Marty when we found out what our board was going to look like and said, hey, if you've got anybody you want us to consider for this, bring it forward. We discussed it in a full meeting here, and we made it a 2-1 decision in that case to go a certain direction, and then you rightly caught that the person that we appointed could not serve on that board because he also served on the hospital board, and we made the change. This one, we go through and we ask Deb Shildroth to go through and make sure that the people, first of all, to solicit applications. I encourage board members, we encourage employees, we encourage everybody that if somebody is interested in applying, they should apply. Deb goes through, in fact, and not for Board of Adjustment, but as we've gone through this process to fill three board seats, Board of Adjustment, Planning and Zoning, and Conservation, Deb did, in fact, find one of our applicants that did not qualify. Then a formal interview process where Deb and I sit down and interview each person applying. For Board of Adjustment, we had three individuals that indicated interest in Board of Adjustment. Deb and I interviewed all three and came forward with this recommendation to the board, again, following practice. So what I'm going to suggest is if this board wants to change that process, that's super. That's its own agenda item. We need to have that full conversation and do it. I'm really reluctant to now get to the end following our existing procedure of three appointments. We got this one this week, and we got two more coming before us next week, and pull the rug out from under that and say, no, we've decided now at the end we're going to go back and look at all this for these three appointments. So what I'm asking of you guys, I'm completely committed to us having the conversation. For our next round of appointments, we're going to have multiple appointments that come before us in the next end of the year.
Yes, our next appointments would be for the VA Commission and then for assets.
Yeah, and so what I'll tell you, we had three outstanding individuals apply for Board of Adjustment. We're pretty protective about how much information we make public on the people that are applying because we believe in some privacy, and frankly, we're working hard to solicit as many applications as possible. I think for me, it was really, really evident that Steve, and I know says I didn't know any of the three that applied for Board of Adjustment prior to interviewing him. I thought Steve was the best fit for that, and that's why my recommendation to this board is to appoint Steve Rice.
I hear three issues here. The first one being today Steve's appointment, and I would be willing to make the motion that we accept and we nominate him, approve him. I guess approve would be the correct term for appointment to the Board of Adjustment. So I taking that one, I make that motion.
Okay.
My observation: this is a housekeeping thing. That you see
we got a motion, so make the second, and then you make your comments. If you, or unless you want me to make the second, and then we'll move to comments.
I would make the second.
Okay, now go.
I would, it's a housekeeping thing. We just vest in the chair. It's an organizational thing. Obviously, he gave you the history on the fluidity of it and how we choose to do it, and we have that within our power, and I guess we're going to talk about that. I guess I like the fact that as you have things brought to the board in capacities such as this that, you know, we have the Epstolgoth, we have the chair, whoever the chair is, do make the determination in our absence, and we do that. The consent agenda is a catch for that. I guess knowing how much trouble we have on getting people to fill the various boards and organizations we have, sometimes that I think that getting people just to stand up and say, yes, I would talk to you about possibly doing that. I want to make this as pretty open and welcoming a process as we can, but we hold it within ourselves to do whatever we want. But to me, I don't have the unease on what has been done as determined by our previous board, but I would have a conversation on a going forward basis if you want to talk about it, sure.
Yeah, so let's just make sure we get that item on a future agenda.
My next item. I was trying to take these one at a
time. Absolutely. So we got a motion for Steve Bruns. We got a second. Further conversation on Steve to the Board of Adjustments, 5-year term. No. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Mr. Bruns is appointed. Laura, second.
Okay. So then the second discussion, even though it won't come until next week, are the two people who've gone through the process already and are waiting to be appointed. And I explained to Rick that I knew that the interviews for the conservation one were going forward, and I did not ask. I just made an ask you me that because he was our representative on the conservation board, he was the one doing the interviews. Okay. So given that we are at the end of that process, I'm very willing next week to take a look at those two and make a positive affirmation of that, just to let you know so that we are not interrupting those people. Okay? Right.
Okay.
And then, yes, I would like to refer to staff. It sounds like Deb. She's the one who's been sitting in on this and has the history with it. Also, I would like to have this conversation, and I hope that you both would seriously, as we go forward with this and bring it to the agenda, think about this, about there's how we can get more input from board members before it ever ends up on a consent agenda, and still we don't have to discourage applicants, you know, but so there, I think there's a middle ground to be found, and I would ask that we refer this to staff, and maybe Deb could talk to, in putting together all the information, also talk to all three of us about our ideas about how a new system would work.
I think that's completely reasonable, and so we've been together now 4 months as a board. I believe, and I hope you'd agree, there's never been a time that you brought something up that it hadn't been taken seriously. Doesn't always mean we agree, but I don't think you can come up with a time that something you brought up hasn't been taken seriously, and I would expect that we would do exactly the same thing here and have that full conversation.
Okay. All right. So I refer to staff.
Is that all three, your points?
Huh?
You had 3 points.
That was all three, yeah. She dealt with Bruns, we dealt with the two that are coming
we'll
forward next week, and
yeah.
We'll deal with reference to Deb Shildroff to
get
on a future,
okay.
Future agenda discussion of our process for board and commission appointments. Outstanding. Good. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
No public hearing items today, so we're to additional items. Consideration of submitting FY17 budget amendment for publication.
Good morning, Lisa Markley.
Hi,
Markley, what's going on?
Oh.
So just trying to get FY17 finished off.
I've been saying. I'm going to come back and ask for an amendment. And
there you go.
Here you are.
So we, what we're considering today is I have the documentation in front of you for what the amendment looks like. What I would like to send to publication, same rules apply for an amendment as for a regular, for the original budget. You can lower at the public hearing, but you can't raise the expenditures, okay? And expenditures are the key there, the revenues. There's no restrictions on it. Although if we publish it, we can't go higher on those either. This amendment would happen on May 9th. The public hearing would happen on May 9th for us to discuss after the publication. A little summary here, the revenues are raising by 3.6% from the most recently amended, which we amended the budget originally in July, I think. So we're going to raise revenues by 3.6. That's mainly the $1.6 million that we received from DAPL and the sale of CLP, because those two things happened immediately after, well, not immediately, but after the budget was passed. The 3.6 is actually 5.4, I'm sorry, up 5.4%. The revenue expenditures are going up 5% from the amended. 46% of that is the regional pay to mental health, the mental health region, and about 45% is salary related. As you know, as going through the budget process, we're only budgeting 94% of the salaries. So we know we're going to have to amend at the year, at end of the year, to make salaries for most departments.
Yeah, depending on how many openings we have, but what it does is it allows the Board of Supervisors to weigh in on what happens with those dollars as we get through the year, rather than budgeting and appropriating it early in the year. So we've got a budget amendment with almost $2.3 million more in revenues, almost $2.2 million more in expenditures than we had in our last budget. And as Lisa knows, when you have revenues going up greater than expenditures going up, it makes me feel a little better. So if we vote to publish this, to have our public hearing, we would be able to adjust down in any one of these areas. I do know for certain that there's going to be one area that we're going to adjust down coming out of the sheriff's office, but I don't think that should impact what we publish here today. That still gives us flexibility for doing that as part of the public hearing. Thoughts or questions, board?
Public hearing date would be proposed at what again? May 9th?
May 9th.
At the
working.
Yep.
I have no questions.
I have no questions
either. Okay. I take a motion to send this to publication.
I move we submit our 17 budget amendment for publication.
I second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Holt.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. Consideration of request to extend the urban renewal area project funding for Story City. Leanne Barter and Mark Jackson.
Morning.
Mark, I always love it when you come over. Are you telling me that something in government has taken longer than we expected? Really?
I'm
shocked by that.
Good morning.
Hold on, Mark.
Handing
that out to everyone. I'll just start. There is, Story City has a request to extend the project lifetime, I guess, for the North Park project that was funded through the 2016 Urban Renewal Area Project funding timeframe. It's not unusual for the board to extend the projects. The November 30th is it's almost a de facto deadline. In August 2015, you extend the board, previous board extended from Colesburg, Kelly, Collins, Maxwell, Nevada, and Huxley. And we've done it for another one for Huxley as well. It just, again, as Mark will share, it's a time frame issue with putting things out for bid, getting higher than estimated, expected estimates, and things like that. So I'll turn over to you, Mark.
Thank you. I'll point out two things. One is the core scope of the project has remained the same. One thing is, as we got into more engineering details, in particular the existing bandstand, we were going to be doing an extensive renovation with this, but as we got into our geotechnical testing, let's put it this way, did not come back good. And it was a real concern that once we started getting into this project, it was the movie Money Pit. It was just no end in sight. So what we decided to do is do a minor restoration to it. And one thing we are adding to it is a new picnic shelter that you'll see to the kind of the far right. And we had planned on doing that at a later phase. And it basically, the design is going to mirror the carousel. And that's the intent of that. Now, obviously, the cost goes up. There's nothing more of your cost. When we originally did this, we look to your money as the work we were kind of doing around the carousel. I mean, because that's the tourist attraction, that's economic development. So when I put the grant together, that's what we were doing. But the real issue, as Leanne's alluded to, is we went out to bid. We got one bid back. It was significantly higher than our estimated cost. And what our engineer, in visiting with other companies, was it's a timing issue. This would be looked at as a summer-fall project, but we had two, if not three, other bidders that could not do it under the time frame of, I call it, December 1st. But really, that two of them at least would be able to bid as a fall-spring project. And so what we're asking for is to go to May 1st and that we would be allowed to go out and rebid it.
Question for Mark. I just say this. As Leanne pointed out, this is we've granted this in the past to other projects. When circumstances allow, we try really, really hard to keep it in payment in the same fiscal year. This does that. So this is the first one of these that this board's had to deal with.
Sorry to hear that you only had one bid. Sorry to hear that it was markedly above where you had expected. I get the timing because, as we find when we do our paving projects, sometimes that if we try to have somebody commit to a time frame, cost goes up. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that if you have another chance to take a bite of this apple, that you might have other bidders.
Our engineer's indicating we will get two, if not three, bids, and at least there'll be competitive bids.
That would give me more comfort if I were on your end of the table. So I think that's reasonable.
I have some questions. I want to go back to your explanation about the van shell, because I didn't connect with what is in your written memo here. Or at least I didn't hear it. If I understand this, your original application on this project included restorative work to the van shell. Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct.
All right. So I don't get where you're talking about that using our money to go over to one area to make it kind of an attraction. I want to stay with the van shell. A van shell and a picnic area to me are two different things entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they attract different types of crowds. They accommodate. So from a tourist attraction or a getting people from the area to come in, you can host concerts at a van shell. You can have the plays at a van shell, and it's a very different venue than having a big picnic shelter area. So can you please first connect with me than what you said verbally about this being a tourist area over in one park? Is that where the van shell is?
Well, looking at the entire project, what we were looking at doing was kind of three components to it. It was the tennis court area, the carousel area, and the van shell area. Three, so the project in its entirety. When I was putting the grant application together, what I looked at is how I arrived at my figure for the county was more of where the carousel was going to be, although it was the entire project in of itself. And so when we got the geotechnical analysis back on the van shell, we were not going to be able to make that work. And so what we decided to do was we will do the minor restoration to that, and at a later phase we're going to do the picnic shelter, and we just decided to add that as part of the project.
But it was not in the application, correct? The actual application for funds for fiscal year 16 did not talk about a shelter, correct? It talked about rehab on a van stand.
That's correct. And actually what we are able to do is we can, in fact, we bid that part as an alternate. And so we will have the actual cost for the other three components. And so even with the other three components, I think the only requirement is that we contribute 25%. Will more than exceed that. So if you're more comfortable, we've already bid that out as a separate project. We can easily say this was the cost of the other three, and as my understanding of the guidelines, as long as that we're bringing at least 25% to the table, we've met your guidelines.
Well, having sat through these presentations in past years, there are multiple communities who bid on them. We ask them to be very specific about what the funds are going to be used for. And many times those applications come in that are part of a larger project. Okay? But we're awarding grant money
or this money based upon what is placed in front of a board at a specific year for a specific project. And as we look forward, I'm also concerned about setting precedent about allowing substitution in for one for another, because hopefully then as we continue to look at these project funds going forward, there will be more applicants for them if this board decides to expand who can qualify for them. And I really feel that this request is a new request, given on the fact that there is such a difference between what a band shell adds to a park like this versus a picnic shelter area.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point, Lars. I'd say two things to that. One, I think that the Story County Board of Supervisors, not this board, but the Story County Board of Supervisors has a precedent of flexibility in these grants. I think the beta, what we did with theirs, and it did not end up being exactly what we approved early on. There were some adjustments in there. I think about a couple of the things that we did down in Maxwell and some of the amendments that were made, and I'm sure Leanne could come up with some more. The other one that I recall about this project is the then board that weighed in on this was really interested in the entire project. And while Mark did in fact come forward and talk a lot about the band shell, it was in the scope of the entire project, and I still believe that that's what the Board of Supervisors was interested in supporting while maintaining flexibility for our small towns. I mean, we see it all the time in what we work on directly. Sometimes you have a plan and you get in and you realize that components of that plan are not nearly as workable, and it doesn't mean you scrap the whole thing. It means you try to make it as workable as possible.
So, I'm not suggesting you scrap the whole thing. With all due respect to the previous board,
No. At
some point we have to make the transition to a new board.
Absolutely, and I'm not trying to suggest that, Lars. I'm trying to give you a sense of the history of what we're doing. It's still us dealing with it, but we need to respect at least what the thought process is of the previous board. It helps inform our decision.
I think when we looked at this and understand that when we bring, any city brings, it's a concept. And we really don't know what the true costs are going to be until you get into some of the detailed engineering. You're not going to do the detailed engineering work that you need until after you have your funding lined up. But with that being said, I think when we looked at this, what is the guidelines of the board, what they have done in the past. This fits in the guidelines of what you've done in the past, specifically because you did the South Park project last year, and the largest component of that was a picnic shelter that we were restoring. And so I think when we looked at this, it wasn't like we were going to a different area doing something different. We looked at what has the board done in the past, and going on your past precedent made that determination. Now, if you want to change the precedent going forward, that's up to you, but that's how we kind of looked at
it. It's unfortunate that this has come up after, I believe, the instructions were given by our special projects person to people who are applying for the grant next year. For the funds in fiscal year 18, because then that means it's fiscal year 19 under this philosophy of we shouldn't change anything that a previous board has done. It would be under the philosophy until fiscal year 19 that we could not discuss adding in about you're submitting a project as is, that if you are totally changing what you're going to be paying for or even the purpose of this shell of it. I'd like for us to be able to discuss that. Unfortunately now, because of how being put out, I guess we're letting these projects for fiscal year 18 then under the assumption of whatever instructions were given last week, which was the old board's instructions.
Well, but so this board has the ability, Lars, to do whatever this board decides to do. We want to pull the funding for this. We absolutely have that ability. I just think that it is informative and important that we understand what the thought process was for getting here, what was then the understanding of those that were applying for the grants based on what boards had done in the past. And if we want to change that, we always have the ability to change it. It's Loris Olson, Marty Chitty, Rick Sanders that gets to make these decisions. We just ought to be informed based on how it has been done and what a reasonable expectation is from Story City in coming forward and making this request.
Okay.
And that's all I'm suggesting.
I don't have any problem with the extension of the bids because I see that. And
sure.
Definitely you're at the whim of many things there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It is, I'm having a problem with a previous board having approved money for a very unique in most communities, you know, one only band shell, one type of project, and now we're going to shift it to now, and this is the first time I've heard this, we're going to shift it to another shelter. I mean, you already have a shelter from the other project here. What? So another option would be let them reapply for the grant this year under the shelter and move the money forward, and then you can compete against the other people for the grant this year.
Well, so I would say this. I would say the request before us today mm-hmm. is simply an extension to the existing project, right?
Well, I'm reading the letter with two items on there.
You got two items, but is it possible to move the completion date from November 30th to May 1st. That's the request before us today. If, in fact, we feel like the project that we said we were going to fund is not the project that ends up getting done, we can deal with that at the time.
And to answer that question,
request comes forth.
This project is funding which you agreed to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Tennis court, carousel, band shell. The only difference is the band shell. Rather than a major restoration, is a minor restoration. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Significant. That's it.
So I'm
and we're adding, and we're just telling you, we're going to add this part into it.
Absolutely.
So okay. I don't think we've really changed the intent or the significant scope of this project.
Then please help me walk through what the written documentation is in front of me versus what you're saying again. All right, I'm reading verbatim. One component of the project included some restorative work to the band shell. After some geotechnical testing, it was determined that this would become cost prohibitive and instead construct a large picnic shelter as part of this project. Does this require any approval on the county end? That, as I read that, it sounds like a pretty clear request to trade the picnic shelter for the band shell.
Maybe
am
so,
I
but
not
I don't,
reading that correctly?
Well, so I
actually
I,
wasn't. It was a question.
Yeah, it was a question, and it sounds to me like you're answering the question, does this require any approval on the county end? I think your answer to that is yes, it would. Not that you're giving it today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it would require it. The question before us today is, are we willing to extend the scope of this project as it was approved to May?
The second question.
That's it. That's the question before the Board of Supervisors today. And then if we need to send Mark off to say, hey, come back with justification that the project that the board approved, and it was a previous board that approved that, is the project that you're doing, I think that's great if we want to have that conversation, but I think it's a separate conversation from today. I view this as Mark asking a question, hey, the scope of this project has changed, some would say slightly, some would say more than slightly. Do we need to talk about that before we complete it? But the second one is, can we change the timeline? Changing the timeline is what's before us today, and I think that's a pretty simple question.
Okay, and Mark, you are agreed. What is before us today is strictly change the timeline, but not the components. That's a separate issue. All right, is that all you're asking for today?
I'd like an answer to the other question, too. Do I have to come back or not?
Have you had any discussion with any members of the board on this prior to coming here today?
I sent Leanne an email.
Okay, so that's it. So it's not like we've got lots of ideas floating out there. Okay, all right, thank you. Okay. So, okay.
This is tethered to a insurmountable construction issue, as I hear it, that caused you to change directions, correct? You came to find out that where you would like to have done a portion of this project just became financially untenable.
It was when we were looking at the cost to redo it, the costs were becoming so significant, cost prohibitive. The other part is, I don't know who's ever done you may have on the school board.
Yeah.
Once you get into projects like this, whatever your estimate is, throw it out the window because it's just going to dig a hole.
The large moving
problem. I mean, I you know, it's just going to
have done it, have said yes and made peace with dollars expended in a way that once you put a large object in motion, it is hard to stop or change its direction because you committed to something.
Have you committed? Have you signed contracts on this?
No, we went to bid. The bid
now
came in.
I'm speaking from experience. You speak as a journalist all the time. I'm just saying I spoke as a school board member here having signed the contract, gone to bidding, having done discussions with the project engineers, seeing the completion of them, knowing the backstory. That's my life's experience.
Well, I will give 20 years sitting out there in the audience as a member of the public, too, that I have seen many, many things related to contracts. And part of them has to be with changing the scope or the intent of the awarding of dollars so much that it really becomes questionable whether the intent is met. And I'm just saying here that I understand that from the Story City standpoint, this is a larger concept. Okay, but the amount of money applied was for a specific project. So I'm asking that they come back and reapply for the project.
I appreciate that. What I'm suggesting is, and Mark, to answer your question, yeah, you need to come back. I'm not suggesting they reapply. I'm suggesting that we continue to follow precedent set by the Story County Board of Supervisors, and that is that we award a project. We understand that the scope of projects sometimes change slightly, sometimes dramatically. It's reasonable for the Board of Supervisors to be kept informed on any of that. And Leanne, I'm suggesting we follow the same process that we followed with Nevada's pavilion that they put in right here when that one changed scope a couple times. And each time, as I recall, Nevada came back and said, hey, here's what we're talking about doing differently than when we originally presented it to you. Here's why we're talking about it. Are you okay with that? In those cases, the board said, yeah, we're okay with it. It makes sense. It's going to benefit the community and we'll go on. But I think we can do the same thing in this case. What we're trying to deal with today is extending the scope of the project to May 1st. And then, Mark, before you go out to bid, I'd suggest you get back in here and you just tell us how it fits in with the original application, what kind of changes you're making, if they're, in your view, they're major or minor. And then the board's going to have to weigh in on that. But I'm not suggesting that at this point, with what we know, we just throw the whole thing out and send them back through the application process. We may get there if he comes back and he says, we decided not to do it in the park. We decided we're going to take it over and do it on the golf course. And we're, you know, you can change it dramatically. You can change it a little, and this board's going to have to determine which that is. For today, we're talking about extending the deadline. Is there any heartburn with extending the deadline?
None.
Well,
I'll make a motion.
The question is, I mean, extending the deadline doesn't do anything for us right now until we know your answer on the other one.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I put it into question, it really would have, I'll be frank and say, it would have been nice to have known that yes, we did, and it was on the agenda for today as well. Because we would have liked to have gone, if whatever decision we got from you was driving what decisions we need to make in the future. And since we did ask the question, it would have been nice to have said, yes, I think you do, and both items could have been handled at the same time.
Right, but that makes an assumption that we discuss what's in front of us. So Morris asked you the question, did you speak with any board members about this? I don't know that there was...
No, I just sent the email to Leanne. If it wasn't, you had done this in the past. But.
Same thing's true in reverse. We don't have this discussion until we get out of here. And so what I would suggest is we go ahead and move forward on extending the deadline. You get back on our agenda as fast as possible and come talk to us about how, if this, I mean, you got one paragraph in here that I think is causing all this concern. We just need to address it and see if it's really a concern or it's not. I don't think this is that complex of issue. I just think we need to get you back in here to talk about it more than just one question in one paragraph. But, Mark, there was no way we could get to that before we sat down here today. So, is there a motion to extend the deadline to May 1st, 2018?
I would move the extension of the Urban Renewal Area Project funding for the city of Story City.
I second.
Motion second. Further discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Mark, get back to us as fast as you can on the scope of the project and how and if it has changed.
Thank you, Mark.
Next is consideration of contract between Story County and Rosalind Mackey Harris Architects. This is still the generator that we're talking about. Cal, are we finally near the end of this thing?
I feel like the boardroom boomerang.
More ago.
Getting comfortable for you.
Well, this is asking for approval of the contract with the architect engineers to start moving forward with the generator project. I will say that the $32,000 is something that is going to be build out in increments, and probably, without a doubt, the majority of this is going to be in fiscal year 2018.
Right. So this is something that I believe we've talked about here in board meetings five different times now, including the last 3 weeks in a row. Questions?
None. I think this is something that we should have been done. I should never set up here and have that already there. But here we are. We live in those times. So let's correct it.
I don't have a question. I have a comment. And I know we're watching the clock here. Okay. So in the contract under reimbursables, it calls for a 10% bump up in us paying a 10% surcharge for reimbursables. And I don't like that. It's a small amount, most likely, on this contract. Okay. I did mention something when I saw Jeff Harris yesterday out at the animal shelter, and I said, I think I'm going to make the motion to approve it, but to remove that clause that we're going to pay a 10% bump on reimbursables. Those are bills that they've already spent. It's after the fact. It's loaded into these traditional architect contracts, and it really, there's no reason for it because any tax they pay, if any tax, any cost is already sent to us. I mean, this is a bill we reimburse them for after the fact. So I'm going to make the motion that we approve the contract as is, with the exception of striking the portion of in reimbursables that says we will pay for reimbursables. I want to strike the portion that says plus 10%.
The owner shall reimburse the architect for expenses incurred in the interest of the project plus 10%.
Plus 10%. It is 10% on they
but
went
you
out
just
and
just want to strike the plus 10%.
Correct.
The rest of the line is fine. Owner shall reimburse the architect for expenses incurred in the interest of the project. Strike the words plus 10%.
Correct.
And that's a motion.
That is correct.
So a motion to approve striking those three words in the contract.
I can second that.
Motion and a second. Further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye. Good job.
Sanders? Aye. So you have to reach out to them and see if this is a real issue. If it is, then since we changed the contract, they can come back and say, no, we're not interested.
Understood.
Okay.
Thank you, Cal.
Thank you, Cal. All right. Let's see. I think we moved the rest of our items. So we are now to public forum number two, opportunities for members of the public to address items not on today's agenda. Anybody wishing we won't take any action due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? Linda Merkin.
Thank you, and I will be brief.
Please.
My name is Linda Merkin. I live in Royal Gilbert. I currently serve on the County's Planning and Zoning Commission. When I was appointed a little less than 2 years ago, the method of my application being reviewed was that all of the supervisors currently seated then interviewed me sequentially. I said at the time, this seems like kind of a waste of time. I would have been very happy to be interviewed in a public hearing. Marty's point that maybe some people would not be, I can take that, and I think that's a good point. However, I was very pleased at the time that the supervisors, the three supervisors at that time, all felt that commitment to the planning and development process, that they would take that time to interview the applicants. And Rick, I wasn't sure that you were there then. You interviewed me. So I just think that is a good process, and I would, since you're going to be discussing it, I would throw that on the table for you.
Appreciate you weighing in. Thank you. Liaison assignments, committee meeting update for us.
Oh, quickly. I would like to refer to staff, whether it be Deb or Alyssa, you guys decide between you, that I just see we're starting to pay annual dues, and I'd like to make sure that we reach out to the other economic entities, such as the Ballard Business Group and the Story City Greater Alliance, to make sure that we've got our membership paid there. The first edition of our story comes out in the Sun tomorrow, so congratulations. I don't think Leanne has left here, but she did a great job of putting this together, and
that's
I'm
good.
Excited.
I've got to commend you, Loris, the work that you have done behind the scenes before the public sees it. It's good on you.
Good on Leanne. She had to learn a whole new program. But thank you. Okay. And I'm going to pass on the rest of them because I can bring updates next week.
Perfect. Marty.
Drainage districts. Further conversations with Story County Hospital on behalf of the Ames Boys and Girls Club. Crestview now is a working group of county officials looking to resolve any issues we have there. Great meeting at DCAT yesterday, and I'm doing a tour of East Story County with Brenda Dreyer from the ADC.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. You guys stay busy. That's good stuff. If there's nothing else, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. We're